Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You have heard it said, seeing is believing. But Jesus says to you, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What then do we make of the apparent contradiction between the words of Jesus, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, and our theme for this Advent series, Come and See? By inviting you to come and see, have Pastor Folks and the seminarians and I invited you to come and give up this special blessing of faith apart from sight by seeing Jesus and thereby believing in him? Well, no, of course not. Rather, by inviting you to come and see Jesus where he promises to be found, we invite you to be further blessed. This is because the connection between sight and faith is not what most people believe it to be. You have heard it said to the people of old, seeing is believing. But I say to you, believing is seeing. So now let's talk about why. To begin, we must first talk about St. Thomas and the other disciples. The story is one that most Christians are very familiar with. The Lord appeared to his disciples in the locked upper room on the evening after his resurrection. Thomas, however, was not with them. Thus, when the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord," he is incredulous. He said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." So because of his strong statement here of disbelief, he is often dubbed Doubting Thomas. Now, I think it is fair to say that Thomas gets a bad rap for this. It is true that he steadfastly refused to believe until he had seen the risen Lord himself. But in the greater context of all the gospel narratives, this is no different from any of the other disciples. The women who went to the tomb early in the morning were, of course, the first witnesses of the resurrection. But no one actually believed the report until they had seen for themselves. St. Luke's gospel account even tells us that their words, their report that Jesus had risen, seemed to the disciples an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Even John, who was the first of the disciples to believe in the resurrection, only did so after he had seen the empty tomb. Therefore, the faith of every single disciple was based on sight. Is it unreasonable, then, for Thomas to demand the same for himself? Is he a worse sinner than all the other disciples because of his bad timing? Surely not. Every single disciple of Jesus believed in the resurrection because he saw, just as St. Thomas did. Nevertheless, this was all for our benefit. Jesus pronounces a blessing on those who have not seen and yet have believed, but this is only possible because the disciples saw. The faith of the Christian church, the same faith which has been passed down from the time of the apostles until now, is based on their eyewitness testimony, the testimony of those who saw Jesus, who saw him in his ministry, who saw him resurrected. This is the point that St. Peter makes in his second epistle, where he defends himself and the other disciples against some adversaries who accuse them of making up stories about Jesus and his second coming. It is here that he says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard the very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter and the other two disciples saw Jesus at his transfiguration. This transfiguration prefigures the coming of Jesus again in glory. So they testify that he will come again based on the fact that they were eyewitnesses. The same is true for all the disciples with regard to Jesus' resurrection. And thus they testify that Jesus has been raised from the dead on the basis that they were eyewitnesses of this fact. And they testify so even without, and they testify so that even without seeing, you may believe. And this is, of course, as our gospel lesson concluded this evening. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This, then, is therefore all for you. The faith of the disciples is based on their sight. Your faith is based on their testimony. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It is by hearing and by the power of the Holy Spirit that you have faith in Jesus Christ. For you, faith does not come by seeing, but it comes by hearing. And it is therefore by faith that you are able to see. And this is a blessing for you. This is, of course, opposed to the sight of natural man, the unbeliever, the one who thinks that he sees rightly and believes only what he sees. He uses his eyes and his reason, his analytical understanding, and he believes that this is all that there is. In the very last paragraph of The Abolition of Man, C.S. Lewis likens this analytical understanding to a basilisk. A basilisk is a mythical creature. It's a kind of lizard that is so deadly that it will kill you just by looking at you. It doesn't matter if you see it first. If it sees you, you are dead. As Lewis described it, the basilisk kills what it sees, and it only sees by killing. Such a miserable creature walks around its entire life, and it only sees death. And therefore, it believes that death is all that there is. Such is the sight of the unbeliever, who trusts in his own reason and senses. But faith sees Jesus Christ, who is the light and the life of the world. Faith sees the babe who was born in Bethlehem. Faith sees the man who is also God, who tabernacled among us. Faith sees Emmanuel, who is God with us. Faith sees the one who was baptized in the Jordan River, who sanctified all waters to be a blessed flood, a washing of rebirth and regeneration. It sees the healer. It sees the teacher. Faith sees the one perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Faith sees him crucified, dead, and buried. Faith sees God's wrath satisfied and averted. Faith sees that by death, Jesus has conquered death. And faith sees him risen again, glorified, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Faith is what sees all of these things, and it says, all these things he has done for me. Faith says, all of this is mine because my God has made it so. All of this is mine because my God has given it to me, because my God desires my salvation. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. With the eyes of faith, we see life. Blessed, therefore, is the one who has not seen, who has not seen with his own eyes and his own reasoning to test what is true and false. Blessed is the one who has not seen and yet has believed. Blessed is the one who sees with the eyes of faith. This is the blind to whom Jesus has restored sight. You have heard it said to the people of old that seeing is believing. But I say to you, believing is seeing. Believing is seeing rightly, and it is seeing the light of the world. This Advent, therefore, we bid you to come and to see. Come and see the Savior of the world born on Christmas Day. See him by the eyes of faith that Jesus has given you to see. The world refuses to see him, but we still call others, saying to them, come and see. We beckon to the co-worker, to the stranger. Ryan and David, our seminarians, they will call out to the herdsmen of Mongolia as we speak kindly to the little boy who lives across the street, saying to one and to all, come and see. With this call to faith, we invite everyone to come and to be blessed. See the Savior born in Bethlehem, the Savior of the world. We see him with the eyes of faith, because believing is seeing. Come and see. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.